Hello, everyone. This is an explicit episode. We will be dealing with explicit topics and joking about them. Thank you. Our podcast is free. And it will always be.
But in the future, there will be a paywall.
Our podcast is free, and it will always be.
But in the future, there will be a paywall.
Our podcast is free, and it will always be.
But in the future, there will be
Our
a paywall.
Our podcast is free, damn it, and it will always be. Welcome to the Indie Film Review. With me, Dan, and we are free for now. Jared thinks that we're going to have a paywall in the future. I don't know about
that's
that.
Right,
but
that's right, that's right. I can't wait, Dan. I can't wait to sell out.
You know?
I'm so horny for it. I'm so horny for selling out.
So amazing. Like, it's crazy. Like, everybody's aspiration nowadays is to be a YouTube star, which is basically selling out. Like,
yeah. Absolutely.
I just want to go straight to the sellout phase of my career. Make all the money with Doritos.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
It's great. Oh, yeah. Cool Ranch Doritos. We love them.
But in the
I like
future,
to crush them up
there
and
will
sniff
be Doritos. Them. Oh God! What?
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ!
What is this show? I don't understand.
Yes, of course we are an Indie Film Review, and we like to review independent films here. Of course, that's what we do here at the Indie Film Review.
That makes sense. That's a good. I'm glad they named it that way because it's like, what do they do? And then it says right there in the title. You know, it's like, oh, okay, they review indie films.
Who's they? It certainly wasn't
government.
Us. All of our fans that are not podcasters, I don't know if you know how this works, but there is like a finite amount of podcasts and they all have names already. So you just pick what podcast appeals to your sensibilities and then you go with that. You can't make it up on your own. That's a no.
Yeah, it's like getting a domain for a website.
Yeah, basically.
You have to go through the International Podcast Association of America for us. So, and we have to go to them and they let us know like what we can and can't do and what we can and can't podcast. Yeah. So there's only, I think, two more slots of podcasts
about
that we talk about independent films.
Yeah.
So it's getting low.
We were the first ones, but, you know, we might not be the best, but we'll be the grandfathers of the indie films. Can't say we pioneered it, though.
Trailblazers is what, that's what they say in the biz. All right. Enough fucking around.
We reviewed a film submitted to us by, guys, this is crazy. You will not believe this. A 10-headed skeleton.
What? Usually skeletons only have one head.
Right. But this one had 10. I saw him. I saw him one night. He came upon me in a dream, and he said, "You will review my film." And it echoed like 10 times because there were 10 heads. And fire was in each of the skeleton's eye sockets.
Were you tripping balls behind the Arby's again, like you normally do on a Wednesday?
Yes.
Nice. So yeah, 10-Headed Skeleton sent us a short film around, I think it was like 30 minutes, and then he sent us two even shorter films, which were like little comedy skits that we'll also talk about. So thank you so much, 10-Headed Skeleton, for sending this to us. He also does music.
Yes.
And I checked out his music. It's pretty interesting.
If you read, did you read the article that it came along with Reptile City?
Oh, no.
Okay,
we
so basically,
sure,
from what I read, he was kind of shoehorned into the music business. He always wanted to do film, but he had friends that were producers, and they just kind of encouraged him to do music. And he's like, yeah, what the hell, I'll do that. And then he's like, I'm only going to do this till I'm 40, and I'm going to pursue my passion. And he turned 40, and now he's making films.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah.
I'm stoked that he's making films. I mean, spoiler alert, I guess, for what we're going to talk about. Okay, so let's talk about the two shorts first.
Yes, let's do the two shorts first, because we have a lot to say about Babe, Reptile in the City, I think is the name of the...
So Interview with the Devil and Valentine's with the Devil,
which are basically pretty much the same gist.
Yeah.
You just have 10-headed skeleton talking to somebody in a devil mask, like a full head devil mask. And they,
good devil mask.
Yes, it is. It looks really good, but
nice.
it's just basically banter back and forth of different topics. And they are very well paced and very entertaining. I had an issue though. With YouTube, I think, like, something happened in the rendering process that a lot of it froze, and I don't know if it was on purpose, because City of Reptiles is, it's experimental. So I was wondering if these two other films are also experimental and like just kept freezing in the middle of dialogue. I don't know. It just, it seemed like it was a rendering issue for me.
Here's what I'll say about it. First one I watched was Valentine's with the Devil. And I noticed this issue with the choppiness, and I was like, what is happening? And I pulled up other YouTube videos, totally fine. So I'm like, okay, it's not on my end. This must be intentional. I will say the Valentine's episode, up until the Jodorowsky joke, I really wasn't enjoying it at all because of the choppiness of the visuals. It really took me out of what I was watching. I mean, I think it was intentional. I just didn't like it. Well, it was kind of rough.
Now, I'm going to defend this. I'm going to say the same thing. I didn't like it either, but that Jodorowsky joke was on fire. I loved it so much. It was
amazing.
It was a perfect way to end it.
However, I wish it got to the punchline quicker, though.
Yeah.
We could have done like a 1 minute instead of a little bit over that. Now, go ahead.
Because we're dealing with experimental films here, I'm going to talk about what I normally talk about with my film students, because I do a whole unit on experimental film. Whenever you do, and I might have said it on the podcast before, but whenever you are making an experimental film, you are basically promising the audience, or you are experimenting with the audience. The audience body becomes the medium of experimentation. You as an audience member have to pay attention to the way that your body is reacting to an experimental film. And sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's obscene, sometimes it's awesome, sometimes it is absolutely disgusting, you never want to see it again, sometimes it makes you horny, sometimes it makes you sad. You know, it's
awful. What if it makes you more often than not horny, and you're like, why?
Then you're watching pornography.
Right. Oh, no, those are my documentaries. Continue.
Anyway, experimental film, again, your body as an audience member becomes the field of experimentation. And that's kind of the promise that you get with experimental filmmakers. So,
Dan, your body is a field of experimentation.
Yes, yes. And man, 10 sex skeletons came on me last night.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
I just see like snake skeleton heads, I know, right? Just like squirming around, vomiting cum all over your face.
Jesus,
it's pretty hot. Anyways, maybe don't have your kids listen to this one.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put.
This is a good time to tell the kids to plug their ear.
The other one, the very first sketch, was an interview with the devil, and I kind of appreciated this one because it let us get to know him a little bit more. It's like he explains.
It was informative.
He explains why he's called Ten-Headed Skeleton, and that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the first one better than the second one, even though they both had the skippiness. Firstly, because of what you were saying, it's informative. It lets you know, oh, he's talking about like playing on a keyboard or playing the keys.
And you only have
and
10
it's like
fingers.
His hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, his fingies are the skeletons, which I thought was cool. Then we have a couple of really good jokes. There was, he talks about him being Vietnamese and the devil. This joke. The devil says, you people are the reason my grandpa can't breathe. And that is a spicy, spicy, spicy joke.
But he's Vietnamese, so he can make it.
Man, he is a provocateur, and it made me laugh, so, because it took me a second, I'm like, I don't get that joke. Oh my god. It's like, oh man, what the fuck? So yeah, he had a pretty couple good lines in there. I think we should get into the real meat and potatoes, because City of Reptiles is a specimen in and of itself.
Yes.
Okay? Dare I say, it is a reptile that we have spotted in the medium that is cinema?
Cinema! This is so a reptile, Dan, in cinema. Oh, yes.
Dan, do your best and explain.
Jesus Christ, that is a chore.
Do your best.
Oh, my God. A dude is sitting in a Long John Silver's in downtown L.A., and he apparently spots a reptile person and asks his group of friends to track down this reptile person. Because they need proof to show somebody else. And apparently the only proof that you can have is the reptile shedding the human skin. So human skin is a big narrative device in this film. And that's basically the gist of it. It just hijinks ensue because he can never really get his friends together to find clues to the reptile person.
Yes, and interspersed with that, there are a lot of non sequiturs. There's a lot of B-roll with cool music. There is sketches. So how I feel like this short film worked was there is the main plot, which doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
There is
a MacGuffin,
skits.
If you will.
Yeah, there are like funny skits interspersed. There are vignettes of music and mood setting. And then there are mood pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim and Eric would do this too, where they would make something and it's not necessarily supposed to be funny on like Tim and Eric Awesome Show. It's supposed to just make you feel a certain way, set a tone for what the episode is.
I was going to draw a parallel to Tim and Eric. Like this film definitely awesome. Felt like it was...
Show.
Awesome show. Great job. This definitely felt like it was in the same ilk as Tim and Eric. Tim and Eric is a little bit more absurdist and mainstream. This was like... I don't know.
Even
how it was even more.
Less mainstream.
Yeah, it was crazy.
More dark. Yeah.
Yes.
And a lot of it worked.
There's only one glaring thing in this that did not work for me, and he did it on purpose, and it kind of pissed me off.
Well, we can't talk about it till spoilers, Dan.
Yes.
Oh, we're supposed to do questions.
Yes.
Dan, questions. How did you feel about the black and white aspect of this movie?
It looked beautiful. It looked absolutely beautiful. Why it looked beautiful is because of the textures he captures. That's probably the biggest portion of the film that is the most enjoyable to me, is he has so many awesome textures, like backdrops of bricks that are broken everywhere, these really cool shots of dead trees, shots underwater, shots of just a vacant tunnel. Like, there's just so many great things that it looks like you can touch them on your screen.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
He makes like an art house kind of a dealy sandwiched inside of like a sketch comedy film. It's really interesting to me. And so like he'll do shots where the camera's upside down and they're going reverse in a tunnel. And I'm like, this was amazing in a horror movie. It was so good. Yeah. One of my favorite shots. And then he's taking low to the ground shots of that cheese grater building, that like weird art building. That was really cool. And there's just like so many fun shots that they're interspersing between like complete silliness, like the dumbest shit you're gonna see.
This is
and I liked the juxtaposition. Thank you.
This is my favorite view of LA I've ever seen in a film.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot, because I love Under the Silver Lake. I love Mulholland Drive. Like all of these movies that like reveal the dark underbelly of LA. This one took that concept and just ran with it.
Absolutely.
You said the tunnel was really good. My favorite texture was he was going past all these dead trees, but then he flipped the tree upside down. So you didn't know what you were looking for at first. Mm-hmm. It looked like the veins of a lung without the lung on it.
Yeah,
and
it's
I'm like,
crazy.
What the fuck is this? So a lot of the B-roll that you see, you're sitting there like, what the fuck am I looking at? And then sometimes you figure it out. Sometimes you don't. Like, and that's kind of the beauty of experimental film.
Yeah, and sometimes you feel like a nut.
Yes.
Anyways, Dan, do you have a question for me?
Yes, Jared, on my mind immediately, because I know how sensitive your tiny ears are to sound. How did you enjoy...
I'm a sensitive boy.
How did you enjoy the sound of this film? Especially that first bout that was super grinding in your ears.
The sound design in this... really good. There was like when he was messing with the chicken early on. Oh, I don't know. I'm hopefully this isn't spoilers, but he really got the mic super close to the sound effects. It was like, wah. But then there were certain parts where he intentionally made the sound bad. It was like there was one jump sound scare and he used it as like a transition. I think it was like 10 minutes in where it was just like a bunch of people like screaming and they're like, like that was like, oh no. But for the most part, the sound didn't hurt my sensitive baby ears.
Interesting.
Because usually it's ringing. If it's like a high-pitched ringing tone,
there's one that within the first. Me. There's one within the first 3 minutes of the film that was super loud and ringing, and I thought that would turn you off immediately. But I guess it didn't.
Oh, no, it didn't affect me.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's on a lower frequency, or I don't know what the deal was, but yeah, it didn't trigger little tears coming out of my baby eyes.
Mm.
But I like the sound design in this. I love the music. The music is... Oh, my gosh.
I think it's all L.A. artists, but they did have one... he included one Beastie Boys song, which I'm like, I love the Beastie Boys, so dude, that was fantastic.
Dude, the freaking music in this. This is a film you could just, like, put on at a party and let the music and the images go, and people will be like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, don't worry about it. Just watch it if you want to watch it. Let it live. Let it live in this party. It's fine. Yeah, really great. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into spoilers?
No, we can go right into spoilers. I'm going to praise another thing here in spoilers, just to start
Well, hold on. Okay. Dan. Hey, guys. It's me, Jared. I'm interrupting the episode to let you know. If you want to check out Ten-Headed Skeleton, you can go to YouTube and type Ten-Headed Skeleton, and you will find him, or search City of Reptiles.
Or just drop a lot of acid like I did.
Yeah, you could probably... The drugs will probably get you there eventually. But yeah, go check out Ten-Headed Skeleton on YouTube. He also has a Bandcamp. If you go to tenheadedskeleton.bandcamp.com, he is also on there. I think he has links on his YouTube as well. I encourage you all to go check it out if you want to get weird. Do you want to get weird? Go check it out. All right, Dan, continue.
All right, so the best part about the film, I already talked about the textures, but the other thing that is fantastic that I'm sure you picked up on, but I loved it,
but
was the framing. Because the framing is, quote, poorly done, but it's poorly done on purpose, which I really liked, especially the close-ups of the people's faces. Like, they're so off-center, or, like, you know, you want to be a little off-center whenever you have a close-up. He puts it way too far to the right or way too far to the left, almost to a point where, like, sometimes half of their face is off-screen, and it's like, what the fuck am I looking at?
It's funny because of all of the... janky stuff in this, I liked all of it. None of it was... Okay, I will get into negatives pretty soon.
I will too.
But for the most part, I liked the camera work and where he was pointing the camera. Intentional or not, I thought it added to the weirdness of the film. Let's talk about some scenes that we liked.
Okay.
Dan, do you have a scene that you liked?
Any of the scenes with the dude with long hair and glasses who serves the skin... You know that guy?
Yeah,
that guy is my favorite.
The waiter.
He's so good. Yeah. I really, really liked him. The pizza Petey's. But his demeanor and his line delivery is just so good throughout the entire film because he wears this just vacant smile on his face and he talks with vacant happiness. Like, He's a psychopath that is, you know, a caricature of a psychopath almost.
Yeah.
Where he's like a Batman villain, but on drugs. Like, he did a bunch of meth.
It's it's so silly because a man places a phone call to a pizza place. Some other guy on the street answers. And then they just have the most bizarre conversation about, like, is this a pizza place? What is it? You know, like, what is... a pizza place. Like, what are we doing right
that
now?
That was probably my favorite scene in the film because of all the philosophical... like, they turned a pizza order into a philosophical conversation. It was beautiful.
It's really crazy. He's like, you wanna order a pizza with your hands? I'm like, no, I'm gonna eat the pizza with my hands. And it's like, it gets really, really dumb. I like those scenes a lot. I thought they were fun. I'll say the last skit with that, when he was... walking down the alley, I feel like that kind of took too long when he was just a bunch of shots of him walking. Mm-hmm. But then the payoff was great because the pizza guy grabs him and then throws him down on the seat. And he's like, hi, welcome to our restaurant. What would you like to order? But they're in an alleyway, a rickety alleyway with like a broken table and everything. It was fun. It was very strange. And he tries to offer him... the human skin, and of course, the human skin becomes a big gag in this.
I was gonna wait till the end of the episode, but I gotta gush about it now. Super, super big props for running through crowded areas in LA with what looks like real human skin, and people are looking at him. That takes balls.
The best scenes with the human skin and the people flailing it, because a lot of people, it looks like someone took someone's hands and remove their skin, and now they're playing with it. People are walking by and looking at them. That's the funniest shit. Like, mm-hmm. that's the real funny shit. Yes. Also, that guy who kept asking people for selfies when they were talking, they were trying to figure out who's a reptile. Be like, oh, that guy's a reptile. He's like, all we gotta do is take a selfie with the reptile. And he was, like, asking real people who are walking by. I do think that the flapping and the flying of the human skin went on for way too long.
Okay,
I wish the bit was maybe one time, and then they brought it back at the end, like they did. But it felt like it started to pad out the story, and then it became too predictable for me.
Here's where I'm going to differ with you, but kind of critique it in a different way. I think the flopping, the POV of the skin, that don't leave that alone. That's perfect. I loved every minute of that. Where I didn't like the skin gag was it always hit somebody in the face, and then they always fantasize about it. And maybe those fantasies were a little too long, but what I didn't like was they said the same exact thing every single time. And that is, this would have been perfect if it didn't fall on the ground. And it's like...
Yeah, there was no subversion of your expectation.
Find other things to say during that.
Yeah, or have different reactions. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I love the initial sketch. The initial sketch was amazing. And then also the second time they did it, the reaction of that guy was really good when he was fantasizing about it.
Another thing really I really liked about those people is each one of those people are like hop walking.
Yeah.
They're not walking. Yes. They're not walking in a regular fashion. They're jumping like each step.
Yeah.
And like it looks skipping. Really funny.
Yeah. I also like the weird dance parties that just kept happening randomly.
Oh, and the dog. The dog is like trying to be in on it. Oh, that was so fun.
Yeah. The dog's in the credits, by the way.
Oh, is he? So there's
there's a scene where the main character is trying to call his two friends. And one guy's like, oh, my underwear is in the wash. My cousin has it. I can't go. And the other guy makes up an excuse. He's like, I hit my knee into my forehead and now my teeth are all broken. But the best part is they frame both the shots of like them in different places. And then there's another shot where they're both in the same building, standing right next to each other, picking up the phone. And they're like, hey, are you ready? He's like, yeah. And then this is the reason why they wouldn't go. And they... to help their friend is they're gonna do this dumb dance. So they go and do this stupid dance, and it's like that shit was so funny and
weird.
Did
you pick up?
I loved it.
Did you pick up on the framing of that dance?
No.
So they're dancing in front of a couch, and there's these things of fabric behind them in the couch that are in tubes, and they position themselves like they do this little do-si-do, and then they position themselves and duck, and each time they duck, it looks like the fabric is coming out as a penis.
What?
Go back and look at it. Like, he frames it just right to where, like, these poles that are on the couch behind them are lined up to their genitals, and it looks so funny.
I didn't notice that. I love pole genital lineups. Yes. Dan, that's so fun.
We'll go back and look at it. We'll probably make it the still for this episode, because it is fucking hilarious.
Oh, we have
hilarious.
To.
It is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, grab a still for that. Damn, that makes that scene even better, and I just was enjoying how silly it was.
One of my favorite scenes also is... The guy with the long hair, I forgot what his name is in the film, but he's stoned.
They had really silly names. Yeah, I like the silly names.
He's stoned out of his mind, and Ten-Headed Skeleton is trying to get him to come, and he's like, you see, like, my mom, she washed my underwear, but he keeps looking up into the sky with his mouth open.
he did a great job.
It was so funny.
He was really good in this. I think that character's name was Donut.
Donut, that's
which
his name.
Is like really fun name.
And then the other one his name is like Macus or something.
Yeah, they had a lot of weird names. A lot of goofy shit. Okay, I have another scene that I want to praise, but I'm trying to think of negatives.
I'm gonna give a negative, and I'm really sorry about this one. I really am.
Sure, let's do
it. I like what he does, and I know for a fact he did this on purpose, and it did not set well with me. But his acting. Ten-Headed Skeleton's acting in this film in particular, I didn't like. Mm-hmm. He was too frantic. He was too... He was stumbling over his words a lot. It would fit his character, but it just... It grinded on me in a way I didn't like. Because it happened a lot.
Yeah.
But if you go watch Valentine's Day with the Devil, he's really good at having banter. So it's like... Mm-hmm. It was definitely a conscious choice he made to make his character act like that. And it just... It didn't set well with me.
I wonder if he was channeling a specific actor.
He might have been.
For a role that he enjoys.
He might have been.
Interesting. One other scene I liked a lot is when he plays an entire scene in reverse of them.
That was amazing. Riding the
riding
bikes.
Their bikes.
Oh, my
going
God.
To the fountain. That was really good.
That incredible. Was really good. It was,
I don't know why I liked it so much, but I liked it a lot.
I had to watch it twice because I thought they were actually going backwards. The way they looked, it made it look like they were going backwards.
Yeah.
It was so strange.
So strange.
So bizarre.
How bizarre? How bizarre? yep. So I would say I was smiling, laughing during this film. I was really enjoying myself. And then later on, when the film started getting too repetitive, my enjoyment started to wane. And that is unfortunate.
See, yes, that's
because I think a lot of this is solid.
And it comes down to a point where it's like, can I recommend this to anybody? And then I can recommend this to super avant-garde film nerds.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I were to recommend it to just, you know, general public, they'd be like, what the fuck are you watching, man? It's like, I don't know. It's not for everybody, but I, like Jared said, I did enjoy myself about, you know, 80% of the time. Yeah. So.
Yeah, if you are under the influence of something.
Oh, God, I can't even imagine.
If an influence is being under you, you will have a much better time. I watch this sober because I take this reviewing process very seriously, and I still enjoyed it. So
inside the actor's studio. All
right, Dan, we like to have fun, but now the fun is over. I guess those was our final thoughts. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate everybody who's been listening. I appreciate our new listeners who've been showing up. Our international listeners. I think that's so cool. We got people from all over the world checking us out, making fun of us for being super American. And we definitely are. We're so fucking American. I hear you and I see you. I understand that. So yeah, thanks again. Dan, give us some plugs.
Yes, you can find us on Twitter at IndieFilmPod. You can find us on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We have a Patreon for you to donate to, either $1 if you like us, $3 if you really like us, and $5 if you are a filmmaker who wants to get their film boosted to a priority list, because our turnaround guys, we get a lot of submissions. It takes a while, like 6 months-ish. Yeah. So if you want your film reviewed faster, like you have a press embargo you got to meet, consider donating, and then we will put it on a faster list.
Yeah. You can also like ask us questions. You'll get a shout out. There's a lot of goofy shit we'll do for you. It's fun. So if you like our show, but you're like, these guys are way too American. It's gross. Go check out the necropodicon.com, and you can check out a lot of other really cool podcasts from all
Aussie
over the world.
Shows.
They're from, Australia, the UK. They're all over. I think those are the three countries, right?
New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand. Okay, yeah, that's all of them.
In the world? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, in the world, yes. It's really fun. You should check it out. A lot of like fun, like D&D podcasts, Call of Cthulhu podcasts, storytelling podcasts, other movie podcasts.
Oh, one of the girls lives in Spain. That's right.
Oh, España. Yes. The City of Lights.
No, that's not it.
It's a country. Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong on all fronts. Cool. Dan, you have the final word.
This podcast is a paywall. And at the end of the day, I'll be on Mars. Thank you and good night.
Is it life on Mars?
Hey, it's your best friend Danny here. If you enjoy art, literature, or the creative process, you may enjoy the comedy podcast Grow Out of It. You may even learn something about your long-lost childhood self. Or you might just get something like this.
Mason and I hadn't really talked much. Besides our first encounter and the occasional, "Help me stand up!" we hadn't had a need to really sit down.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.